Today is a very important class. We're at the midpoint of the mystical eye. And if we have retained what has gone before and brought it into a habit so that we are now moving through and in those five chapters, we have opened up to another level of ourselves. When we said that I was standing at the door of our consciousness and knocking, we were really saying that infinity is knocking at our consciousness, that eternity is knocking at our consciousness, that immortality is knocking at our consciousness, that grace is knocking, that every quality of God is knocking. And it won't go away because I stand at the door. And therefore, translated, the statement means that all that God is ever present, waiting for my consciousness to open and say, "You take over. The me is dead, and I am opening to I." Now, when you open then to I, you are opening to the presence of that which is eternal. And because that which is eternal is never separated in time, you are opening to direct perception of that which is happening now everywhere in infinity. Instead of seeing the universe in a sequence of time, you are opening to the possibility of seeing all of these activities in time in the now through direct perception. And you are opening to infinity, so that when you have opened I, you can never be separated again in space or by space, because infinity becomes the level of your consciousness. Now, translated again, that means that I of you is I in all of the yesterdays that have ever occurred in the present and in tomorrow. And you are being open to an unconditioned, completed, perfect creation, which is present. And just as Abraham stood before the Father who said, "As far as your eyes can see, all this land I give you." That word land meant all that you can realize of this infinite invisible that is before you is yours now. The measure of your level of awareness determines your world. It is all here, it is all complete, it is all perfect, it is all finished. It is not waiting for tomorrow. And therefore we begin to look up inside ourselves at my eternal self, here and now. My infinite self, here and now. And this is where we rest, developing the capacity to stand fast. Now, you may find that every one of your days happens in a pattern, and that pattern is generally the you, which is moved by world events, the tide of world affairs, attachment to yourself, your needs, your family needs, always living on the level of your human selfhood. And if your personal needs and your attachments govern and move you through the day, then you are not opening to I, the eternal self, or I, the infinite self, and you are a divided individual. You are divided from your eternal and infinite self, as if it didn't exist, as if it were not knocking at the door of your consciousness. And that is what James was talking about when he said, a double-minded man is unstable in every way. Double-minded. If you are not in the eternal, in the infinite, you are in time and in space. You are in mortality. You are not in divine self, and therefore you are double-minded, and therefore unstable in every way. And this instability shows forth as the expression of your karma, so that not being in the divine, in the I, in the eternal, in the infinite, in grace now, the land that you see is very limited. You see the land that your senses can perceive, whereas someone else living in the eternal perceives directly that which is there beyond the senses, and that land is what he claims. Now then you say, I have a physical ailment. Now this should be eliminated forever. There never has been a physical ailment. Whatever that physical ailment appears to be, you can quickly transfer that to the knowledge that only your senses are aware of that physical ailment. And so let's get out of the physical side of an ailment right away. Let's see that we have a mental ailment. No matter what it is never physical. You see, God has no physical children. And the moment you claim yourself to be in a physical ailment, you're claiming physicality, which takes you into that double-minded man. God has no physical mortal children. If someone said to you, here's some marble, now make me some metal bookends, you would say, well, you want metal bookends, not marble bookends. And if somebody said, here's some steel, now build a vault, you'd build it out of the steel. You wouldn't go and find another material. You cannot build a mortal being out of God. Immortality does not create mortality. Spirit does not create matter. And as long as you have a physical ailment, you're declaring a physicality and a mortality, which is not of God. You are saying, I had a physical father. I had a physical mother. But the Spirit says, call no man on earth your father. One is your father, God, Spirit. And therefore, your being is Spirit. And if you have a physical ailment, you're a divided individual, believing you are one thing that you are not, and from that you begin the pyramid of errors. All right, we have a mental ailment. Now let's go further. We have a belief in mind which expresses as a physical problem. Now what is that belief in mind? It's not the mind of God, and therefore it's a non-existent mind which we have deigned to call mind by error. The belief in the non-existent mind must be as non-existent as the mind itself. And so we come right back to the purpose of impersonalizing God. We have a word called G-O-D. And if you pray to G-O-D, G-O-D will not respond, because a word cannot respond. And so we do not have the God experience, and we do not fulfill our purpose, which is to know God aright. Now, an atheist has no intention of knowing God aright. And so that individual can never fulfill the purpose of life, which is to know God aright, to know reality. And if religion is praying to God, it cannot know God aright. Because a word cannot respond. A word has less power than a germ. The word God on earth has less power than the mafia. The word God on earth cannot do anything. It is impotent. It is nothing but a word on the lips of people. But I, the infinite eternal, which am knocking at the door of the world consciousness, I am God. And I am not a word. I am the infinite force of life itself. And if I am not the force of you, accepted in consciousness, there is not going to be a God experience. Now, the importance of today is beyond description. Because today we're going to go where a few of us have dared to go. We have all tried very hard to say that this man next to me is my brother. And I will try with my understanding to see the Christ of him. And that was movement in the right direction. To see the Christ of everyone around us opens us to the understanding of the universal Christ. But we still have me seeing Christ there, just as the world has me seeking God. All that I am seeking, without exception, all that I am seeking, I am. I am seeking supply, but I am supply. I am seeking health, but I am health. I am seeking vision, but I am vision. I am seeking God, but I am God. Whatever you are seeking is I. And that I is the Christ. And that I is the substance of every individual on the face of this earth. And that substance is spirit. And the substance that you're looking at, calling man and woman and child and form and thing and condition and person, that substance is not the substance of I. It is your human concept about I. And therefore, as long as you have in mind an image of form or an image of condition or an image of a thing or an image of an improvement or an image of an illness, or any idea about this world, that image is a barrier and a denial and a separation from the pure I of being. Now, when I look out at you and I say I see Christ or try to, that is an incomplete activity. When you look out at your neighbor and say you see Christ, that is an incomplete activity. And we must complete that activity. You must impersonalize Christ. You must look out at your neighbor and see that the Christ you are seeing in your neighbor is the I that you are. Wherever your neighbor appears, that is not your neighbor. That is the I of your being. And when you have put into practice that everywhere you're looking, at everyone and everything the eye of your being is, you still haven't completed it, because that's only now the direction in which you go. You must find yourself in everyone. Literally. You must work with everyone who comes in contact with you in your consciousness until they are not there, and only the eye of you stands there. You cannot estimate the fruitage of this until you have begun. I mean consciously to practice that no matter who stands before you, it is the eye of you. It is not a person. It is not a personalized Christ. It is not a form. It is yourself. And as Joel put it before, until you understood I, as the nature of being, there's no place to go in this work. I tell you now, until you can work with this and see that the I of you is all you can meet in this entire universe, you cannot be lifted into the inestimable joy of that which lies beyond that recognition. I mean a joy so speechless that you can't believe it. A joy so unusual that it makes peace disappear and makes you wonder what you're to do next. It's almost as if you're ready to understand what happened to Paul when he learned that I am everywhere. All of these people I've been persecuting invisibly are I. He'd been persecuting himself. When that light, when that revelation that I am all I can see and all I can feel and all I can touch is I, and there's no other. Literally my own self everywhere. Then you have found your true universe. And in that illumination, you won't wait for somebody to come along and change your name. It will change itself. You won't have to be blinded by light. But don't be surprised if you are. I is your name, I is your identity, and I is God. And if God is the only presence, and his name is I, that's the meaning of mystical I. That I which is the Father is the I which you are. And because God is omnipresent, because I is omnipresent, the I that you are must be omnipresent or not exist. You don't have a neighbor. You don't have a friend. You don't have an enemy. Everyone that you're looking at is the I of your being. And if you think you're too old to learn new tricks, this is one you're going to have to learn, or else stop trying to be a spiritual being. There is no such thing as a finite spiritual being. That I which has been knocking at the door of your consciousness is infinite I. The only way you can let infinite I into your consciousness is to know that I am infinite I. You take this eye out of the Holy Land. You take it into this eternal now. And everywhere you look, you forget the individual. You talk to the individual with one level of the human self, but you're sowing to the infinite eye which stands before you as your very being. And when you do, you find that all of the karma of the world to you is totally meaningless. Because when you recognize I and not your friend, I and not your brother, I and not your sister, I and not your enemy, you are breaking world karma. You are opening to that I which is knocking. You are saying, I recognize I acknowledge I in all my ways. And now I love my neighbor as myself because I is all that was ever there, and there never was a neighbor. It was always I. There never was a child. It was always I. This is the fullness of your being. And I, the mystical I, is the one mystical being that I am. You're out of multiplicities. You're out of separations. You're out of divisions. You're out of forms. You're in the one I. And when you're in the one I, you are absent from the form. You're out of the images in mind. You're out of physicalities. You're out of mortality. The old man is dead. We know that when we get rid of the old man, we lose every problem with him. But that old man is my human selfhood. And that old man is even the one who is looking for God or for Christ and trying to do the right thing. That's still the old man. We're out of G-O-D. We have accepted God as the present living self of every being on the earth, and therefore there is one being now. God is not a being, but the only being. And therefore, that being is what you're looking at everywhere, and its name is I. It is in the midst of all, and it is in the midst of you. And this means that only I is on the earth. Now, unless you practice this, you will not come to that phase of the work where you literally can look at everyone around you with an impersonal attitude. There's no person there, good or bad, white or black, Catholic or Jew, Chinese or Italian. All that's there is I. In prison, you came to me when I was in hungered. How did the disciples come to that prison where he was in hungered if he was never in a prison? But Christ was speaking, not Jesus. And the prison was that we saw a Chinese where there was only I. Christ was imprisoned from our senses. Our senses made a prison that could not view the Christ. We saw a sick person. Christ was imprisoned. But there wasn't a sick person there. There was only Christ. And everywhere we see a problem, or even a good, healthy person, Christ is imprisoned there until we know that is not the person, that is myself. Now, what happens when you sow to the Spirit this way? You're learning a new trick. But you're learning something very unusual, because when you do this, when you sow to the spirit of each one, not as the spirit of their being, but as the spirit of your being, when you do that, something in you becomes alive. Christ in you becomes alive. You feel a new body. truly a new body. And that new body is capable of doing things you didn't dream you were going to do. It is not fettered by matter, by the bones of your body or the flesh and blood of your body. It is free. It is undiseased. It is independent of the world. And it moves. It moves in strange and different ways than you have known how to move. It lives in a different way. It comes alive only because it is an infinite body. And it cannot come alive in you until you recognize it everywhere. As I there, and I there, and I everywhere. I, your infinite body, have been knocking at your consciousness. But you're seeing a Chinese, and an Italian, and a Spanish, and a Chicano. They aren't there. It is I. Everywhere I am. And I am your name, your being. I am the mystical I. And when you recognize that I am there, then like an elastic band, this recognition of I opens you to love. Of course you love I, because it is yourself. And it is yourself out there as well as out there and out there. There's nowhere you can look. All this land that you see, I give unto you. All the I that you can accept and recognize becomes yourself. As far as you can cast your recognition of I, that is your being. And you will love that being, and it will love you, and you will find how love takes you out of what am I going to do today? What is my schedule today? Where am I going to go? What am I going to get? How can I fulfill another desire of mine today? Why, that's the old kindergarten of humanhood. Of course we can do those things, but we find that we've been filling our life with shadows. We haven't had the confidence to rest in the infinity of our own being. And all this time, I have been knocking. And then, because we have not known that this infinite eternal I am now, right now, we've taken a little sense bite out of the fullness of it. And then these senses, as they bite into the fullness, they make a nice, pretty little image called a person. And we live inside that image, never dreaming that outside of those senses, outside of this image, is the fullness of my being. And then I walk around in that little sense image and even boast about how wonderful I am. Look at the talents that I have. Look at the possessions that I have accumulated with my great talents. And all this is a non-existent image in the mind. And then you burst the bubble. Getting out of the tomb, out of that image of the five senses, beginning to even suspect that beyond this personal sense of self is an infinite being that I am. And as you open to it, then you learn what standing fast means. Stand ye still and behold the salvation of the Lord. And we want to, but we don't know where to stand. Stand where? Stand how? Well, stand on truth. And so we start affirming a lot of truth. But now our place to stand, our secret place to stand, is the infinite divine self is the one identity, and it is I everywhere. As far as human eyes can see, as far as telescopes can see, as far as intuitive perception can see, it is all I. There is no place where I is not. And every time you think of I or say I, that is your infinite being, your eternal being. And that is why that which I am seeking, I am. I, being all and everywhere, I contain supply. I contain health. I contain vision. I, when you find that you are this I, you have found your health, your vision, and your supply. And now stand ye fast. Stand ye fast on the knowledge that there's no place in the universe where the you, the I of you, is not. No place. There is no quality of God in all of infinity that the I of you is not. And after you have accepted that, then stand ye fast. And behold, the salvation of this infinite I that you have claimed to be yourself. If you do evil to another, it is your denial that this other is the invisible I of your being. And so the evil returns to you. If you do good to another, it is possibly through some intuitive understanding that this is the I of your being, and the good returns to you. You're giving it to yourself, whether it's good or evil. And now yourself is not just a phrase, it's a living identity. It's the one living identity. And it makes no difference that I claim it for myself, or that Jesus claimed it for his self, or even if Judas claimed it for his self. The I of Jesus and the I of Judas are one and the same. We all appear at different levels of awareness about that I. And that is why one can be a Jesus, whereas the other can be a Judas. Unaware of the I, he's a Judas. Aware of the I, he's a Jesus. Aware of the I, he's not Saul, he's Paul. Aware of the I, not the personal I, and not even the limited sense of divine I, but the unlimited, infinite awareness of I. Aware of that I, 10,000 can fall at your left, 1,000 at your right. It doesn't mean a thing, because all there is there is I. Nobody is falling. Now, I have discovered that when you practice this consciously, there is a tremendous inner turning. When I talk to you and look past the you that you're presenting, and even past an understanding that where you are, Christ must be, but know that it is I that stands before me, whether you're male or female, boy or girl, man or woman, infant or dog or cat, tree or bird, grass or flower. Only I is there. Then you have Isaiah's truth, I am the Lord thy God, and there is none else. No other anything. Just the undifferentiated, spiritual, mystical, immortal, eternal, infinite I, and that is your name. When you will not divide, when you will commune with that in every individual, you will find a new type of relationship beginning between you and those individuals. A spellbinding change takes place. Then you are truly lifting up the I in your consciousness. And I is the Son of God. You are lifting up the Son of God in your consciousness, in the consciousness of the world around you. And that uplifted consciousness lifts you out of the old man. It lifts you out of the old way of life. It lifts you out of the old body, out of the old mind, out of the old habits, out of the old defects. It lifts you into that which is forever new. It lifts you into the miracle universe of reality, the unfettered, unconditioned universe. And because it is very shocking, it is ladled out with a spoon so gently that we don't come into that experience of sudden blindness as Paul encountered it. We don't come into more than we can handle, because this new I in everyone as your own being makes you an infinite being, literally. You've overcome the world when you begin working with this. You overcome the illusion of all of it. You can move differently in this world because you have found your substance behind it. You're not surprised then if you find you can do things you didn't know about or only read about. Time has no more meaning for you. Space is a completely different thing because the eye of you, which is here, is also there. And what is space now? It's non-existent. Space cannot divide the eye of you. And the eye of you which is here now is also before Abraham. And time cannot divide the eye of you. You're at a different level, and you're in the allness of being, the fullness, the wholeness, instead of the fragment. And now you find that forms in mind, images in mind, conditions in mind are just excess baggage. You throw them out. Why bother with forms in mind? What have they to do with the infinite eye? Why bother seeking the finite when you are already the infinite? Why seek the temporal, which vanishes tomorrow, when you are already the eternal? Why push aside what you are and go out and seek something finite? Does the infinite need something finite? Is there something really finite? And then you find all the baubles you've been reaching for are of no value. And now the eye which has been knocking, you're saying, I've accepted you. You're real to me now. Now I'm standing fast. And I'm understanding. I'm looking up. I'm not moving with the tide of world affairs. I'm not doing the accepted thing, that which the world accepts as what I ought to do. I'm not thinking in terms of the status or what will look good to friends. I'm living in I, which is the I of all who had been appearing to me as friends. And I am trusting not person, not condition, not place, not thing. I am trusting I to live itself perfectly everywhere where I am. Now, if you're still reaching out then for things and improvements, the I that is knocking in vain at your consciousness. You're still claiming mortality. You're still a divided man, unstable. You're still living in the senses and suffocating there. You're still in the tomb of physicality. When you hear the astronauts speak from the moon, right there you have a glimpse of the meaningless of space and time. All that distance is nothing. In a fraction of time, there's a meeting, two minds. The eye of you does it better. It is omnipresent. But you are that eye. And you must be that omnipresence. Just think, the eye of you this minute is everywhere. And if you are not acknowledging it, you are not accepting I. And if you are acknowledging it, then, son, all that I have is thine. Thou art ever with me. But if you're not ever with me in your consciousness, this infinite cannot pour its allness into your experience. And therefore, you do not know God aright. When you are knowing I infinite, you have found a new you, haven't you? And you find that this personal self here is merely what might be called the hub of that you. This is the point of recognition. But ever out go the eddying circles of recognition, so that I am in Menlo. I am in Arizona. I am across the ocean now. That's no ocean, that's your eye. Seen through the glass darkly of the world mind, it appears to be the ocean. But I is there, everywhere. That's no Grand Canyon. That's no Yosemite. That's the invisible eye of you appearing to human sense as these things. This is no earth, this is I, appearing to human sense as the earth. It's really I, because it is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and the Lord is I. And all this is the I that you are, the mystical I. As you acknowledge this I in all your ways, as the everywhereness of your being, there cannot be another being there, only your being. Stand ye fast. Rest in that knowledge, and behold the incredible things that happen in your life. Then you find why you were told not to strive and struggle. You find these strange statements by Joel that poor man has to labor for his food, but I do not. Then you see why the Bible is replete with these so-called miracles. Because the I pours forth in abundance, just as it did for Job. When he found I in the midst of him as the infinite self, all that he had lost was restored double. Even the loss of beloved ones was restored double. And you say, how do you restore a beloved one? I do. For I am the identity of the one you thought was your beloved. You simply dropped your conscious awareness of I. You lost a level of your awareness, but I have never gone away. I am always the one and only infinite self. How can you lose this? Only through a sense of separation. The miracle of Job was that he discovered he never lost anything, even his loved ones. You never lose anything because I is all there is. In our sense of mortality, we lose things and people. In our knowledge of immortality, we are the blessed, who although we once mourned, we discover there was never anything to mourn about. And we are comforted. We are comforted by the realization that there is no condition in I that is ever imperfect. The whole universe of reality comes alive to us. And you rest in it. And you let God live God's life where you appear to be. Now, this is the only God there is. I, the infinite, immortal I, the Spirit. And this is the only you there is, the infinite, immortal I, the Spirit. For I, the Father, and I, the Son, are one. As Jesus said it, only when he had accepted that I was his name, that he was infinite being. As Paul said it, as John said it, as every mystic has said it, so must we learn that I is my name. I is the name of God. And all that God is, I must be, because I and the Father are one being. The old man is gone. God is impersonalized, and persons are impersonalized. Something happens that makes you rebel at this point, because one man said to me, but then you're down to nothing. What are you? What's the point of anything? There's nothing to do, nowhere to go, no ambition. You can't attain anything. Well, that's right. That's how you change over. You reach the point of that I am nothing as a human. And whatever I might attain would be meaningless. It will go. But I am reborn of the Spirit as the infinite I. And whatever is to be attained is already attained. Whatever is to be accomplished is already accomplished. And now I will live itself and manifest the invisible creation in the visible, showing forth the glories of the invisible kingdom. There's no personal glory. There's nobody to pat you on the back. There is just the ineffable joy of being free in the infinite. Without any physical obstruction. The incorporeal self begins to be a very present, accepted possibility. You feel your infinite incorporeality, your freedom, a freedom that is beyond all words. Now, for practical living purposes, we have to translate I, infinite, into a way of life, so that wherever there is a problem, we instantly know we have come into a divided consciousness. We have stepped out of I. I has no problem. And whenever people we know have problems, it is because they, not being in I, must experience the absence of I. But who are they? They are I. And if they don't know they are I, we must know they are I. Our function is to recognize the I-ness of everyone as the I of our own being. And the change then today is that you're not recognizing the I-ness of them as the I-ness of that individual, but as the I-ness of your being. So that you are beginning to expand into who you are everywhere. You can't do it for them. You're doing it for yourself. I told you about Joel standing in front of an infinite way practitioner and saying, I didn't come here to visit with you for your sake. I came here because of myself. And he was looking at a person, but he was recognizing that only the I of his own being was there. And so if that man over there is stealing, the I of me is there, and I must bring that I up in recognition instead of condemning the one who's stealing. If that man over there is a cheat, I've got to bring my I up over there where he is appearing. Everywhere I must lift the Son of I, the Son of God. For it is my name. And that is how you realize the expansion of your being. People say, oh, I wish I had more to do. That's such a passive life to sit and meditate. Sometimes I wish it were. It isn't. Because when you're passively doing nothing there, it's because you haven't realized what you should be doing. Whoever comes to mind must be lifted up in the eye of you, right where they appear to be, until it matters not what comes to mind or who comes to mind or when they come to mind. I is all they can ever be, and that is the secret of no power needed. You're resting in why it is I. Be still, it is I. Fear not, it is I. Now, this is a mystical lesson. It means nothing to the people who are listening with a mind who are going to go back living within their human selfhoods. It means a lot to those who are moving to be in that place where you're absent from the body and present with the Lord. Because this is the way to that experience. If there is any place in the universe where God is and you are not, you are divided from God. And if there is any moment when you are not consciously that I which is God, you are separated from God. If there is a moment when you are mortal or physical and you accept this to be the truth, you are separated from God. And every moment of separation is karma. That's a big order. But there are those among us who have no halfway measure in this work. And And this is the halfway mark of the book, and it's time to face the fact that unless your eye, in the eyes of the Father, you have no existence. And cannot come under the law and protection and love of the Father. Whoever denies then the presence of the love of God anywhere, or the wisdom of God, or the mind of God, or the perfection of God as their own being, whoever denies this anywhere, if you think anywhere in this universe that you are not the love of God, the perfection of God, the wisdom, the intelligence, the health, the abundance, if you are not this everywhere, you are not it anywhere at all. For I everywhere is your name. And it must be practiced. You cannot practice the presence. You must practice the omnipresence of your eye everywhere. 24 hours a day. You wake up to the infinite I am, and there is no other. You go to sleep with the infinite I, and there is no other. And you will find the miracle worker revealing the glories of the kingdom, for it is my good pleasure to give the kingdom to whoever is the accepted living I. Now, this is a hard assignment. It can't end with this room, you know. It's what you take into every moment of every tomorrow, so that you are impersonalizing God and the world and the human race, and seeing one vast infinite eye everywhere as your being. Not many beings, but one. And trusting the one being that you are to maintain a perfect self. And then watch how that one being that you are pours to this point of recognition the glory of Christ made manifest in all things. If you find yourself thinking of a form, throw it out. Of an image, throw it out. Of a person, of a thing, throw it out. Until you have no knowledge in your mind of person, form, or thing, you are uncluttered, unclogged of all images. And there's nothing there. Just a knowing. And then an unknowing. A complete, perfect freedom of form. It won't be long before you find you're not in the form yourself. That's when the shock comes, so be prepared. Don't be afraid. We're learning new things, and new things will happen, and they must happen. We must be ready for changes. When you have no form in consciousness, you will find yourself without form in the universe, and your experience will be different. We should be in a blank screen now, trying to do nothing. Just released. Isn't God alive? Isn't God capable of living God's life? Why do we have to do something? Why can't God do it? You find God can and does if you will wait upon the Lord. If you will let God move God through you. What moves you? Let God move you. And then the cosmic mind has no power over you. Whatever you do will be meaningful. The Lord will build the house. Everything in your infinite self will be in relation to everything else. There will be an infinite balance. There will be a peace. There will be coordination. There will be principle. Everything will move under divine law. All of your infinite self is being mobilized, invisible to human senses. You are sowing to the infinite spirit. Your harvest will be different. It will be the harvest of the mystical eye. You are letting your omnipresent, everywhere self live itself. Instead of wasting human time and energy running here and there in limited areas, you are letting infinity throughout eternity do its own work. And then invisible creation will be made manifest in harmonious ways. This is how I works. Where are you now? Everywhere. If you're here, in this particular place, you're not in I. If you're in I, you are everywhere. And everywhere will be your harvest. We are resting in everywhere. Don't let personality intervene. I is God, and I is doing God's work, even though the body is going nowhere. Now we can open our eyes and take a little intermission and see if we can't bring all of Infinite Eye into our daily living.